If you have a radio show, go ahead and pick an opening song just to tick your co-host off. That's what I've done. And by the way, it's the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show live on Blog Talk Radio and at AsylumFantasySports.com. That's talk, Rick.
And I'm floored. I didn't know this was coming on. Pedro's going to start picking out the next show.
Well, how do you know Pedro didn't do this one?
Because I know that your taste in music. But hey, we are Frigger Briggs. Welcome to the Asylum. Drop us a line at asylumfootball@gmail.com.
Don't wave me off trying to get all
and,
serious.
I'm trying to get this out here because we got a lot to cover
tonight. That's true. We're busy. I'll stop playing. Go ahead.
And
it's your world, Rick.
Go ahead.
He's all discombobulated now. Hey, check us out, too, at all new episode of the show. Well, not new episode, but episodes you won't hear on our website. We are now heard on the Fantasy Sports Network in Canada. Heard weekly Sundays 2 p.m. on MTS Cable in Canada and here in the Los Estados Unidos on FantasySportsNetwork.com. Check us out there. Give us a shout. Let them know you're hearing us there to our Canadian friends.
Yes, and we are going to finish, hopefully, our bracket from our final 64 to the top fantasy football player of 2014 to bring a little sanity back into our asylum. We have Liz Loza on. You know her from one of my favorite podcasts, the X's and Y's podcast with John Evans. She co-hosts, and you know her on Twitter as the FF Girl. Liz, welcome.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it is great to have you on. I've had the pleasure of being on your show a couple of times, and you need to help Fligger with the beginning music because that just irritated me.
And you're still gassed by this. How do you not like Fallout Boy? I mean, it's not cool to admit I like them, but I like them. It's kind of like NSYNC. You can't admit you like it, but it's pretty catchy.
Just because I don't.
Well, you don't like anything.
Oh, well.
Was this the show you were on where they said you sounded Amish when you were on the X's and Y's? Was that that show?
Yeah, I actually, that's right. Yeah, you guys thought I was Amish country, apparently. But yeah. You thought we forgot that, didn't you?
I sure did. Well, you know, like, I like to bring popcorn to the show, and Amish people do a good job of making some corn kernels. So I guess it's entertainment value. It all comes back to that.
And to be fair, to be honest, you weren't that far off. While not right outside the window, we could get in the car and find an Amish buggy in what, Rick, less than 15 minutes, I would say. It's not that far away.
Yeah, it's no lie. In our hometown, or my hometown, the largest grocery store in the town, which is a fairly good size, they actually have these iron posts in the parking lot, which are hitching posts. Hmm.
Wow, for horses.
Oh, that's exactly right.
You can't have that buggy running off. All right, Rick, let's jump right into it. I want to get to the championship today. The NCAA tournament's over, so we ought to wrap up the real tournament of consequence, this Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament. We are down to the Sweet 16. Pretty chalky. While last night we watched a 7 and an 8 seed play for a national title. So far, Rick, pretty chalky here, but I think the decisions are about to get tough.
Yeah, and Liz, you happen to get got invited as we start from the Sweet 16, a lot tougher matchups than the first couple.
It is getting pretty tough. I mean, some of these players, like, who wouldn't love to have them for fantasy-wise? So picking the best, and also, you know, is it the best value, the best overall player? There are a lot of things to consider, so some wiggle room. Is it the most points accrued? Then your answer might be a little bit different, so...
Well, yeah, I mean, like I explained, they have to basically, from where you think you're going to get them in the draft, and then you put forth what you in your head, the amount of points you're going to get. Obviously, you know, some of the top quarterbacks are going to be higher scoring than a top wide receiver. However, you can get a top four or five quarterback a lot later than a wide receiver, and hence maybe a better value. It's just however, you know, we deem
the best. I will tell you this much. Using that positional strategy in mind, my number one, which I'm not quite sure we'll get to, but if we do, I'll only say my number one is indeed a running back.
Okay, that's who won it last year. Yeah. So, are you
trying to already crown Jamal Charles
no,
again? I saw
I am
the
not.
Back and forth between Ty and St. Louis on Twitter. That
Ty has more man love for Jamal Charles than you have for Ryan Matthews.
Well,
I swear.
I'm not sure that's possible, but yeah, he's getting close. I wonder if he was making those little pictures he was sending as he went, or he keeps those on stock. I'm not sure.
I don't know. But...
So let's jump into it, Rick. Let's start in the East Regional. Your boy, that's what we call a segue, the way that worked
exactly.
out. That's very nice. Jamal Charles, the number one overall seed, taking on Aaron Rodgers.
Liz, I will let you go first. Ladies first on this one.
All right. Well, I will preface this. Everyone who knows me, and if your listeners don't yet, I'm a Bears fan. So when I make this prediction, it is one that is completely unbiased. Looking at Charles, obviously, monster year in 2013. He rushed for nearly 1,300 yards, scored 12 touchdowns on the ground, plus another 7 through the air, which I didn't quite remember until I went back and looked at his stats, like how good he is. How good his hands are, too. And he also managed to stay healthy for the second year in a row since tearing his ACL in 2011. But, and here's the big but, he lost 3 linemen during the free agency period. Brandon Albert, Jeff Schwartz, John Asamoah. Like, those guys are all gone. Plus, the Chiefs are going to face the Broncos' much-improved defense twice during the regular season. I totally know that running back is thin, and Charles is an exceptional talent. I wouldn't be surprised if he takes a tiny step back this coming year. He's still worth a first-round pick. All of that said, I'm going with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, wow, Rick.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. There
I am now holding his hand away from the button he's trying to hang up on you, Liz.
That is not true because there's actually not a point I disagree with. That was one of my big concerns with Jamal Charles is the loss of the 3 offensive linemen in the offseason. And Aaron Rodgers, I'm really high on Aaron Rodgers this year for a bounce-back year. We've talked about this on previous shows. The NFC North is basically getting into an arms race.
Oh, yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers, I think, is going to be in for a huge year. Boy, I tell
you. You've got to think about, you've finally got a running back in Lacy, right? So that'll take off some of the pressure. Plus, he's got this new quarterback coach who's Alex Van Pelt. He's played the position. Granted, he was like a career backup, but he has some familiarity with the position. He knows how to challenge Rodgers, how to move him forward. And you know that Rodgers is really salty after breaking his collarbone and missing those 7 games. That's a competitive dude. As much as I don't like it, since my team, as you mentioned, is in the NFC North, I think Rodgers is going to break all sorts of heart, but he's going to break my heart and also all sorts of records next season.
It's very possible, and I'm still torn on this one, and you know what? Just to put pressure on Mr. Flager, I probably am not having Jamal Charles take the title, but I'm going to have him squeak by in overtime on Aaron Rodgers is a little better value. So now we're going to let you be the decider, mister.
All right. So I got to be the decision maker here. You know what it comes down to for me? And Liz hit on it, and I'm going to use that to go, unfortunately, against our guest here. Running back is so thin. If I can get my hands on Jamal Charles, which I'm going to have to be picking number one overall in all likelihood, I feel like I'm set. If I miss out on Aaron Rodgers, I got a shot at Drew Brees. I got a shot at Peyton Manning. I'm high on Andrew Luck. There's enough guys out there I'm comfortable with. I just can't. I agree. I think Rodgers setting up for a big year, and you bring up Alex Van Pelt, a Pitt guy, as a disgusted Pitt homer that I am. You know, love that move up there. Everything going on, Rick. I just can't. As much as I'd like to bury Jamal Charles for you right now and get it over with and make everybody's life easier for the remainder of this show, I'm going to have to, if I got to cast a deciding vote in overtime, a buzzer beater in overtime, I'm going to go with Jamal Charles.
I can't believe you are agreeing with me.
It won't happen again. Don't worry.
Well, let's move on to Dez Bryant and Eddie Lacy. Now, this is Dez Bryant basically cruised through his competition. Eddie Lacy had a split decision over on Antonio Brown last week. And, Rick, why don't you take Dez and Eddie Lacy?
All right. Rick, same reasons I was talking about Jamal Charles. I love Eddie Lacy. This is going to be an every-down back. this is a guy who so dynamic. And also I have that little bit of love for him because in the great debate of him and Giovanni Bernard while they both worked out. And who was that other dummy that was up there in Green Bay that all you guys like? Franklin, was that his last name? There was the two rookies.
Yeah, Jonathan Franklin.
Franklin, and I was all on the Eddie Lacy bandwagon, so that's a homer pick. Rick, Dez Bryant is so dynamic. Tony Romo, you know how I feel about him as a quarterback, statistically anyhow. I wouldn't want him quarterback in our Steelers, but for a fantasy football quarterback, Dez Bryant to me is a top three, maybe top four fantasy wide receiver. It is close for me. Eddie Lacy, not a ton in a PPR format. I like Dez Bryant. I'm going to go with the mild upset here and take Dez Bryant.
Liz, go ahead.
Well, to Rick's earlier point, because running back is thin, I'm going with Eddie Lacy. I mean, the guy put up nearly 1,200 rushing yards and 11 touchdowns, and that's with Scott Tolzien and or Matt Flynn under center for seven games. So for me, I think Dez, you know, like he's been super, super consistent. His numbers are always good. But I think he, you know, he's trending downward at a deeper position where Lacy is trending upward at a much more shallow position. And for that reason, I'm going with the running back in Green Bay.
All right. Now I am left with a deciding voice here. And I tell you, I'm going to have to go back to points that both of you guys made, the thinness of the running back position. And I am looking at, oh, my Lord, what, 25? I'm looking at the top 25 wide receiving scorers from last year, and they're over 200 points, all of them, fantasy-wise. If I miss out on Dez Bryant, I can certainly pick up somebody. So I think, yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you, Liz. I think Eddie Lacy is going to be a better value, and I think Green Bay is going to be a high-powered offense. Just to make up for last year, if nothing else. And I'm going Eddie Lacy.
All right. So we get out to the Elite Eight when we come back to that. Jamaal Charles versus Eddie Lacy, a very interesting Elite Eight matchup. And very chalky at that, a one versus a two. Let's jump down to the Midwest, Rick, number one seed in the Midwest. Adrian Peterson takes on your man crush, and I'm sure somebody who Liz is also a fan of, Mr. Brandon Marshall.
I'll tell you what, I'm going my man crush, Brandon Marshall. I love the guy, and I'm looking for this step back, albeit however small it may be, from Adrian Peterson. I just think that Chicago's offense is going to be dynamic this year. I love what Trestman did the first year, and I know Elshon Jeffrey came alive, but there are just so many weapons there, and there's still the chemistry of him and Cutler. I like Brandon Marshall.
This one was a tough one for me. Again, you know, I feel like we keep hitting the same point of running back being such a shallow position, Adrian Peterson being such a stud. But, you know, he did just have that groin surgery. He's got a new offensive coordinator in Norv Turner. He should be ready to go from the groin surgery for the Vikings minicamp, but I don't know. They've dealt Toby Gerhardt. The only guy backing him is that I call him the Asaiberry. I don't know his real name. Matt Asada, something like that. But Brandon Marshall's, like, entering a contract year. He's super motivated. You know there's going to be the issue, I think, with Marshall, right, is that his production isn't going to be consistent because, as you mentioned, you've got Elshon Jeffrey in the mix. You've got Martellus Bennett in the mix. If one of those guys gets injured, you've got Hickson, who's not a great talent, but he's big. So he's a nice target for Cutler. You know Cutler's going to go down for a couple of weeks. He'll break a thumb or a fingernail or a groin or something. But because of the contract year, Marshall will do like, he'll have like a great game, and then Jeffrey will have a great game, and then he'll complain so the squeaky wheel gets the grease and he'll have another great game. I just worry about his consistency, whereas I think Adrian Peterson is going to give you numbers that you can count on every single week. Like, you know, you can start him and not have to worry about it. Brandon Marshall just might not give you that sort of consistency, so I'm going with AP. Again, as much as I would love to go with the Bears, I'm going to go with a rival and go with Adrian Peterson.
Okay, so it's in we can't agree on anything.
I tell you, we haven't had a unanimous choice yet.
This is very contentious. Hopefully we'll get to one eventually. This is tough for me, and I'm doing this based on gut, my very pronounced gut, Rick. I think Adrian Peterson is on the way down. I really do.
Yeah.
It's you haven't seen him nicked up like that, like he was nicked up last year, missing games. The miraculous recovery from the ACL, you start to believe he's actually a robot, and I believe we discussed that at length on the show, Rick. Brandon Marshall, you know what tips it for me? You read that story a couple weeks ago, Rick, or was it last week? We do so many shows anymore, I can't remember. That he says, I'm a Bear, I'm not going anywhere, I'll take less money. I can't remember everything he says, but it sure doesn't sound like the Brandon Marshall we knew leaving Denver. This guy is motivated, he loves this offense, he's got that thing with Cutler. Rick, I think Brandon Marshall, if it wasn't for Josh Gordon and Calvin Johnson, this guy might. I do worry about the Alshon Jeffrey effect, although I think this may make him better. It's going to take some catches away from him. All this kid does is catch touchdowns. I can't believe I'm doing it, Rick, but I'm going to bump Adrian Peterson and move Brandon Marshall on into the Elite Eight.
You know what? I'm with you. You've convinced me. I was waffling, trying not to be a homer, also remembering that, you know, last season he was a little bit removed, only just a tiny bit removed from that hip surgery, but now he's fully back. So forget it. You know what? I'm going to be a homer. I'm going with Brandon Marshall, too.
All right. We brought her on board.
That's right. Which, you know what this means. Adrian Peters is running for 2,100 yards this year, right?
Oh, yeah. 25 touchdowns and you know, probably 80 catches.
Oh, at least. At a
with
minimum.
Norv Turner. Okay. Now we have, Josh Gordon, Matt Forte, a 2-3 matchup.
We'll stay in with the
Go
Bears.
Ahead, Liz.
All right. Well, now that I'm looking back, I probably was going with Adrian Peterson, not to sound like a homer, like I said, because I'm definitely going to be a homer this time around and go with Forte. He had his best year in 2013 with a bunch of yards, like almost 1,200 combined yards, 12 touchdowns. I love him in Trestman's new up-tempo offense. Plus, he stayed healthy the whole year. I just think there's more in store for him this coming season, especially in PPR. I know Josh Gordon's a stud, but he's already complaining. You know, he doesn't like that Turner's gone. I don't think that puts him in a great place with Kyle Shanahan. Granted, the third season is generally when things sort of come together, and it'll be Gordon's third season. There's still question marks at the quarterback position, so I'm going with Matt Forte. And for exactly what you just said, you know, if I don't get Josh Gordon, that's fine. I'll take Brandon Marshall. But if I don't get Matt Forte, I don't really want to land somewhere like, I don't know, Alfred Morris, per se, you know?
Yeah, nobody wants to land there, I don't think. All right, Rick, I'll jump in on this one. I love Josh Gordon. I think this guy has the potential to be, and probably will be, in my opinion, the number one fantasy wide receiver in 2014. Here's my dilemma. I think Matt Forte ends the season as the number one fantasy running back in 2014. Love his role in that Trestman offense. Love what they're doing with Jeffrey and Marshall with a healthy Jay Cutler. Everybody's motivated. This offense is going on. I think this one's going to be settled early, Rick. If I can have the best running back and the best wide receiver, now we're talking in a PPR format, actually, because he's going to get a bulk of his work through the air. I'm going to go with it as well. It kills me, but I'm going to move Matt Forte on.
Yeah, Matt Forte had 15 less receptions than Josh Gordon last year, and he also had 1,339 rushing yards. And I have to make it unanimous. I love this Trestman offense, and there's a little bit of an injury factor somewhat that concerns me a little bit with Forte, but he stayed healthy last year. And I'm with Liz. Gordon's got he is a freak. He's got the talent, but I'm not convinced of that head on his shoulders. He's already starting to whine a little bit. And with the quarterback situation up in the air, he could decide to take a break if things aren't going his way here later on in the season. I don't know. Maybe not. I'm not saying that, but I'm going unanimous, and I'm going Forte. I think for my money, if I'm drafting, give me that number one running back.
Yeah, no question about that. So let's slide over to the East. So far into the Elite Eight, Jamal Charles will be taking on Eddie Lacy and Brandon Marshall versus Matt Forte. Liz's dream matchup right there. That'll be a tough one. Shade McCoy, Rick, versus Le'Veon Bell in the West bracket. This might be the only one that's not all that close.
It's probably not. And they're both, I can't say similar because they're not even close to similar in running backs, but similar situations where Le'Veon Bell had LeGarrette Blount come into camp and Shady McCoy had Sproles come in the offseason. I think they're both still going to be the bell cow for the teams, but Shady McCoy is much more dynamic, catches more passes, and, you know, this is the number two scoring fantasy running back from last year and the NFL leading rusher. He may step back a tad, but I don't think so in this Philadelphia offense. I like McCoy.
I think I agree with everything you said. Like, Le'Veon Bell's great. He had a great situation in Pittsburgh, but even with Blunt coming on board, but he's not Shady. I mean, no one is Shady. I think Shady is actually my number one for 2014, number one fantasy running back. So I'm definitely going with him. This was the only maybe easy choice of all of the brackets for me.
Yeah, I agree. I have Shady McCoy. Liz, what are your thoughts on, I've seen some consternation out there on the web and on Twitter about what the Darren Sproles effect will have on Shady McCoy. Do you worry it cuts into his production at all, or at least a noticeable amount?
No, I think it actually helps him, frankly. I mean, I think that he's, first of all, he's a competitive guy, right? So it's going to make him work harder. Secondly, you've got defenses needing to scheme for a second running back. And, you know, I don't think Darren Sproles was used effectively really in New Orleans last season, but having him there certainly didn't hurt Pierre Thomas's value. And in fact, Pierre Thomas had more catches than, I think it was like almost a 50-50 split, and it seemed to help Pierre Thomas. So I'm not trying to compare Pierre Thomas and Shady McCoy, but I just think that Shady McCoy, it's going to help him. It's going to increase all of that production. Plus, let's also not forget that Chip Kelly's tempo is just lightning. That offense is lightning fast. Guys need chance to breathe. They need a chance to come off, keep their legs fresh. I think it'll help him from getting injured. So overall, I like the move, especially in terms of his fantasy value.
Yeah, and I can actually see a few little wrinkles in there with, you know, Jason Avant's gone, DeSean Jackson's gone. I could actually see both of them on the same plays at the same time.
Yep.
And
bring on the wishbone in Philadelphia.
Yeah, I mean, who wants to cover these guys all at the same time?
Yeah, not going to be easy to do. So let's jump down to the bottom. A battle of teammates, Rick. Demaryius Thomas takes on the two-seed Peyton Manning.
I'll let you tackle that one first.
Oh, you're going to make me go first. I still, after everything he did last year, Rick, I have in the back of my mind concerns about Peyton Manning. He never took that hit last year that we are wondering if he was going to survive. It could happen at any given moment. Again with me, too, look, Peyton Manning single-handedly on some awful team. Remember that auction league we were in? That team I had was awful, and Peyton Manning single-handedly took me into the playoffs. Demaryius Thomas is very, very dynamic. These are two fairly deep positions. I am going to be more apt. I'm making this decision only on this. It's so close for me. 92 grabs, 1,400 yards, 14 touchdowns for Demaryius Thomas. In what are both very deep positions, I'm going to be more apt to draft Demaryius Thomas higher. So I don't think that makes Peyton Manning a value. I think you're going to take Peyton Manning a little higher than you generally want to take your quarterback position. For that reason, I know it's not a very good one. This is basically based on the smell test. I'm going with Demaryius Thomas.
You know, I guess I'm basing my decision on you have to. I mean, Demaryius Thomas, you know what you're going to get with Demaryius Thomas. He's big, great hands, a lot like Dez Bryant. That way, just size, he's just that prototypical huge wide receiver. It's like you say, how do you feel Peyton Manning is going to perform in 2014? Phillip Rivers was the third highest scoring fantasy quarterback in 2013, last year. He was almost 200 points behind Peyton Manning. If you think Peyton Manning is going to take a step back, I agree with you. If you think he's going to stay right around the same plane, I got to go Peyton Manning. I don't think he's going to step back too much, even with Eric Decker out of there. I'm going Peyton Manning.
Well, I agree with you, actually. I'm going Peyton Manning. You know, sure, Demaryius Thomas had a monster season last year, but he also, let's not forget, in the Super Bowl, Cam Chancellor crunched his left shoulder. He's still recovering. Now, granted, he should be good to go for training camp, and it's not a huge consideration, but it is a little bit of a ding. And I also feel like I'm going with Peyton Manning because it's Peyton Manning that really helps to make Demaryius Thomas's numbers so good. So I got to give props to the source. He and his bionic neck were cleared. I say let's roll. Let's do it again in 2014.
All right. You know, I just kind of going through, we've gone through three brackets, and we're not very creative. We have a one and a two seed, a two and a four, and a one and a two.
I think that is a big hats off to the selection committee is what I think that is, Rick. It was seated appropriately.
Oh, okay.
Congratulations to the selection committee. That was a job well done by them.
Yeah, cramped in that room by themselves for weeks.
Oh, weeks, yeah. They, me, spent them almost 20 minutes on it, I got to tell you what. All right, let's jump down to the South, Rick. It looks like we're going to get to a champion today that's going rather smoothly thus far. Number one seed Calvin Johnson takes on the four seed Drew Brees. There's an interesting matchup.
Yeah, Liz, you tackle this one.
Okay, this one actually was pretty easy for me. I think Megatron... I'm going to go with him. I mean, the addition of Golden Tate, I think, only helps his value. The dude is just a stud flat out. He put up nearly 1,500 yards and 12 touchdowns last season. That was the second-best season since his rookie year. Yeah, I know 2011 was bananas, but, like, come on. You're not going to – there's nothing to sneeze at. Plus, you're getting, like, I don't know, $15 million or something. He's definitely thriving in Motor City. Drew Brees, on the other hand, I have a few concerns about. I mean, I think he might take a step back. Let's not forget Lance Moore is in Pittsburgh, Sproles is in Philly. Those are two receiving options. I know that a lot of dynasty owners, myself included, are high on Kenny Stills, but he hasn't broken out just yet. And we've got the whole Jimmy Graham situation, if he's going to hold out or not. In fact, Graham tweeted a couple of days or weeks ago, I can't keep track anymore during free agency, the time just flies, that he was shocked and disappointed at the way the team has handled themselves during the offseason. I know he's supposed to, you know, come to a deal by the 22nd of this month, but those are a lot of weapons for Brees to be losing or to have in question. So, I mean, if you're asking me who would I rather have on my team, Megatron or Drew Brees, I would prefer Calvin Johnson.
Yeah, and Drew Brees was seated as a four. Actually had, I thought, a pretty easy ride through Michael Crabtree and Alfred Morris, but I think it's end of the road with Calvin Johnson. This guy is a beast. Love what Detroit's doing as well. Like I mentioned, the NFC North is in an arms race, and they're right in the heat of it. Tate only solidifies that position. I love their running back situation, and Calvin Johnson is a monster, and I think he wins easily.
Yeah, I'll have to make that one unanimous. All of a sudden, it's become a love fest here after all those disagreements at the beginning. I agree. I feel like you look at Drew Brees' final numbers, up over $5,000 again, 39 touches, 12 interceptions, another fantastic season. But, Rick, if you look at the game splits, there is just a little bit, not a lot, but there's starting to be a little pattern of inconsistency with Drew Brees. I'm looking at four games with only one touchdown and eight total with two or under, which in this NFL, you know, 300 yards and three touchdowns is about the bare minimum you're looking for fantasy stat-wise, you know, five games under 300 yards, which 300 yards doesn't mean what it used to. These are still fantastic numbers. This is still a top five quarterback, but he's not that can't-miss guy. He falls pretty well behind Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning and guys like that for me. So, yeah, for this, I don't even think it's a matchup with Calvin Johnson, but I think in general I do have small concerns over Drew Brees. I wouldn't spend – this guy was a second- and third-round pick for a lot of years. I wouldn't spend a pick that high on him going into this season.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with you. That, you know, five-touchdown performance in Week 8, and then he had four in Week 10 and Week 14. But all along in there, one, two, three, four one-touchdown games right there in the second half of the season, and he had multiple interceptions the last two games
right.
of the season. So, yeah, I can see this slipping, and I just don't think this matchup's close.
All right, so let's jump down to the bottom. We have the we have some upsets here. The 7-seed Reggie Bush taking on the 3-seed Jimmy Graham. Reggie Bush upsetting Marshawn Lynch last week.
Yeah, we actually had two split decisions with Jimmy Graham taking out Arian Foster and Reggie Bush taking out Marshawn Lynch. I tell you, for all the reasons we talk about in New Orleans with Drew Brees, that's one reason why I like Jimmy Graham, because of some of the weapons they're depleting in New Orleans. I think he's still uncoverable. However, I just don't know how to make him. I just don't know what his attitude is going to be coming into the season. What's his deal going to be like? I'm in love with the Lions offense along with the Bears and the Packers in that defense. I think Reggie Bush is up for a huge year. I still think Jimmy Graham is heads and shoulders the best tight end out there. He's one of the top receivers in the league, and I still think Jimmy Graham's going to be a better value.
Okay, well, we'll make Lisby the tiebreaker in this one. I'm going to go with Reggie Bush. You said it. I love what they're doing in Detroit. I love Matt Stafford going into this year, bringing in Golden Tate on the other side of Calvin Johnson. Reggie Bush, the health concern is the big concern from him. If this guy can manage to stay healthy, this Lions offense fits his style of play, and he's such a dynamic player in space, and they have the ability to create space and get him the ball in space. Jimmy Graham, you know how I feel about taking that tight end early. I know it's like drafting a wide receiver. I don't like using up that position. You're only starting one. You're drafting this guy in the first or second round. If he goes down, which is always a possibility, you can't recover from that. That's why I shy away from the tight end a little bit in those early, early rounds. This contract situation, this franchise tag situation, he doesn't seem like the forgive and forget and make the best of it. You know, I've never sat down and had dinner with the man, but just in watching him being interviewed, he doesn't seem like the, we'll just play it out and let the cards fall where they may kind of guy. This could affect them a little bit. So I don't trust Jimmy Graham. He probably goes out, puts up the numbers, but I don't want to take the risk. I'm going to go ahead and squeeze Reggie Bush out.
Well, I don't think that when you draft Jimmy Graham, there's much risk associated. Even if he is salty about and needing to hold out because of his deal and everything, I still think Jimmy Graham taking a step back is a step I'm okay with. Whereas Reggie Bush, as much as you guys love the Lions offense, and I understand, let's not forget that they signed Bell to a 2-year, $7 million extension. He's got $4.3 million guaranteed. To me, that shows me that the Lions are motivated to keep Bell part of this office. He's going to be running in a tandem with Bush. Bush has been known to miss. We know that. I think they've got huge confidence in Bell. Bush is not in a situation where he's a bell cow. Not that situation exists that much anymore. But still, I feel like Bush's production is going to be eaten into by Bell. And even if Graham takes a step back, those numbers are still going to be much better than Bush's. I understand that value and ADP comes into play here, but overall, I'm still going with Graham.
All right, so the Elite Eight is final. Rick, Jamal, Charles, Eddie Lacy, Brandon Marshall, Matt Forte, McCoy, Manning, Megatron, and Jimmy Graham. Let's jump back up to the East. Let's put our first man into the Final Four. Your love, Jamal Charles against Eddie Lacy.
Well, this is basically a toss-up, really. I think they're both first-rounders, and I think they're going to be, obviously, I got Jamal Charles is a top three running back. Eddie Lacy, he's definitely in my top seven. But I think Jamal Charles, I'm still going with him. He's the guy. He had 19 touchdowns last year, and I'm just not prepared to go away from him yet.
You can't do it. Well, you're wearing that Charles jersey right now.
I'm going to go with Eddie Lacy. I'm going to be contrarian and say sorry, but Jamal's had his best season, so I just think Lacy's on the rise. And, you know, he is a first rounder. He's probably going to go in the middle, I'd say, of the first round, but I'll take that over number one.
All right, Rick, so it's all up to me.
Liz, you should have saw the smile on his face when you took Eddie Lacy. Because then he just does what he gets to do to me.
Yes, I know what I get to do, Rick. I promise. Well, that's a lie. 10% of me is doing this because I want it to pain you a little bit. I like to bring you pain. However, Eddie Lacy, this guy, he's going to finish in the top three of fantasy running backs. He's going to. And Liz just mentioned, you're going to get him in the middle of that first round. Jamal Charles is going number one overall. There's questions surrounding him. There are this offensive line, all the changes. still not a real legitimate passing team. There's a lot of concerns. That offense went a lot better than I thought it would last year. Still not a dynamic offense. Eddie Lacy is in what's a real, real dynamic offense. He is one of the last bastions of a bell cow back, to use a term that we've been using here on the show a lot. I think Eddie Lacy, he stays healthy. He's big. He's strong. He gets it done. Perfect for that offense and in that stadium in December and January when it's 37 below zero and blowing snow. I'm going to move. We got a lot of flack for having Eddie Lacy as a number two overall seed. And vindication, baby, Eddie Lacy is in the Final Four.
Okay, well, you guys can cry when I'm wrong.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
Oh, no. They're a company. I can't say what I want.
Yeah, you can say it to me. Thank God the company is here.
Okay, let's move down to the Midwest. It's going quickly now. We have Adrian Peterson, the number one, against Brandon Marshall. Liz, you might as well take the Bears here and start this one.
Well, actually, we've got Brandon Marshall versus Matt Forte, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm yeah, it's the Bears. I was thinking Bears, but I said Adrian Peterson, yes. Matt Forte and Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, so this one's interesting because I'm just thinking draft strategy. Now, Matt Forte, I think you're probably going to get around the same place you'd get Eddie Lacy. I think you'd probably go a little bit before Eddie Lacy, but maybe like one spot. So you're looking at, what, the fifth, the middle of the first round, maybe the beginning to the middle of the first round. Brandon Marshall, though, I feel like you're going to get, when you snake back, probably he's going to be a second-round pick, but the middle to the end of the second round. So who would you want ahead of Brandon Marshall? I'm thinking about, like, who's going to go ahead of him? Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, Demaryius Thomas, maybe? So do you want Brandon Marshall or do you want Julio Jones? I want Brandon Marshall more running back. So, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go with Matt Forte at the end of the day. It just comes down to the fact that running back is such a shallow position, and, like, if I get Julio Jones instead of Brandon Marshall, or I get, you know, even Alshon Jeffrey instead of Brandon Marshall, I'm going to be happy. So I'll go with Forte.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, then I was hoping you go the other way. I agree 100% Matt Forte. This is a guy, Rick, I think in a PPR format walks out of this season as the number one fantasy scorer at the running back position. Excellent point with Brandon Marshall. He's in a tier with a lot of similar wide receivers. There is a handful of guys I can get in that same position that I'm equally happy with. His own teammate, Alshon Jeffrey, you nailed it being one of them. That tier of wide receivers is big, and it's growing as the years go on. Matt Forte in this offense, Matt Forte's a guy I was down on going into last year at my own folly, and rightly so the year prior. This is a guy right now, this offense was built for him. It's running through him. He seems to be content finally. I expect big things from Matt Forte, Rick. So it's pretty much a walk for Matt Forte for me.
Yeah, I'm going to have to make it unanimous. I love Brandon Marshall, but I just think the thinness of the running back position, and I think he's going to be top three myself. And as good as Brandon Marshall is, I may say he's going to be top 10 with the Alshon Jeffrey factor and everything, but you're still going to have to get him rather high, which I think Matt Forte, if you get him in the middle of the first round, I still think he's a better value than Marshall.
It's hard to talk about value in the
right
top 7-8 picks,
exactly.
But Matt Forte might be that guy. So let's hop over to the West. This one is tough. This might be the toughest matchup as I look at this. J.D. McCoy taking on Peyton Manning. Rick, you start this show.
I am a firm Peyton Manning believer. I know he throws these lame ducks and he can't run and he's gyrating around all the time and people are just
I'm not sure I've ever seen Peyton Manning gyrate.
Oh yeah, he's always waving his arms and screaming and shaking around and everything.
Maybe more gesticulate. I don't know about gyrating.
Shady McCoy is so dynamic in the offense of Philly. I don't know how to make really a logical decision in this. I know you can get Peyton Manning later than Shady McCoy, obviously, and I think he's going to score points. Is he going to have that many more points than some of these other quarterbacks. I'm still believing in Peyton Manning, and that's where I'm going on one more year with Peyton Manning.
Sticking with Peyton Manning. I'm going to go the other way, and we'll let Liz make the final decision on this one. Here's my best argument. It's Shady McCoy. Yeah, I know it's Peyton Manning, too. Running back's so thin. This guy is so dynamic. PPR formats, running the ball. There are games he just takes over. He looks completely unstoppable. This Chip Kelly offense is so fun to watch. I just think everything is setting up for him. Probably going to lean heavier on him with the void of talent at wide receiver at this point in Philadelphia. I think Shady McCoy takes this by the reins, and this may be one of his, if not his, best season in the year. So in a real squeaker, I'm taking Shady McCoy.
This one isn't that much of a squeaker for me. I just have to think about ADP data and draft strategy again. Peyton Manning, sure, he's going to go, you know, he's going to go well ahead of where he should go. I've seen some ADP data that has him going in the second round of some drafts. So, okay, would you want to take Peyton Manning that high, or would you rather take Aaron Rodgers, you know, a couple of spaces back? Is there going to be that much of a discrepancy in terms of fantasy value between Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers? I'm not quite sure, but Shady McCoy, he is a stud. Like I said, I think he's my number one running back for 2014. So if I'm choosing between theoretically the first or second best running back and then the first or second best quarterback, I'm going to go with the best running back because I feel like there are a few options between Rodgers and maybe even Brady after Peyton Manning goes that'll still keep me afloat and really solid. So I'm sticking with Shady.
All right, Rick. Well, we've got a Bear in the final four. We've got a Pitt Panther in the final four, and Jamal Charles has gone home. So this has got to be rough for you. Let's drop down to the South. Megatron takes on your boy, Jimmy Graham.
Liz, go ahead.
It was Megatron versus Jimmy Graham. Oh, all right. I'm going Megatron. Like, do I really need to give you an argument here? I just feel like we talked about Jimmy Graham. I know you didn't have dinner with him, like you said, but is he going to hold out? Sure, he'll be the best tight end, but you can get Julius Thomas a little bit later. And then you've got that whole second tier of tight ends. I really like, Pitta, now that Coobs is in Baltimore, I think Pitta has nice value. There are just some other ways to be creative with tight end, and you've got some other studs. So, yeah, Mega's Mega. I'm not – And also, just the security that having Calvin Johnson on your roster gives you, I think that's a huge part of strategy and drafting. So you don't have to worry about him. Graham, usually you don't have to worry about, but this season in particular, a couple of question marks. So for those reasons, I'm sticking with Megatron.
Yeah, I go right along with you. Everything you said and really nothing else to say, Calvin Johnson easily.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of discussion there. I made the argument against Jimmy Graham in the last round. And if you look at, you know, so you miss out on Jimmy Graham. I'm happy, Rick, if I get down to the Jordan Reed level. Here's a guy I think with a lot of potential. There's guys out there you can piece it together. You can't piece together anything the likes of Calvin Johnson. This guy is simply a machine. He'll continue to do it, manage to stay healthy, and I do love that Golden Tate factor, and it's going to make it hard for him to be knocked out. So, Rick, I wish I'd brought up last year's and remember what the Final Four is, but the 2014 Final Four, Eddie Lacy, Matt Forte, Shady McCoy, and Calvin Johnson. Good luck picking these games. I might check out for the rest of the show and let you two deal with this.
Well, then that's what... You have three here, buddy.
In case I disappear, you never know with me. So let's jump right into it, Rick. Let's get to our first championship participant. Eddie Lacy takes on Matt Forte. This is tough.
I love both these guys, but I just like this Bears offense better, and I'm going Matt Forte. I think Eddie Lacy's going to have a great year, but I think the offense is a little bit different. You have Aaron Rodgers as opposed to Jay Cutler. And Rodgers is going to be throwing more, I believe, to the wide receivers and tight ends and so forth. Trestman likes working a lot through the running back as well. And I think Forte is going to be the guy.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, they're going to be drafted in similar positions. Granted, Forte might go a spot or two ahead of Lacy. But let's also consider there is sometimes a sophomore slump. I know I'm reaching here, but it's possible that Lacey might, you know, have a bit of sophomore slump. Forte, though, I just see him ascending. You mentioned Chessman's offense. So if it's going to be between a Packer and a Bear, I'm picking the Bear.
Oh, that's not a homer pick at all.
That is perfect. Solid reason for making that pick. I'll actually make it unanimous for all the consternation we had. Rick, I've said it over and over again. I think Matt Forte ends the season at number one. I really do. Such a dynamic player in a PPR format, which is the lens we're looking at this tournament through, what he's going to be able to do. You know what stunned me? And that was a great stat you pulled out. And you know I give out compliments. I throw them around like they throw around manhole covers.
Yeah.
But 15 less catches than Josh Gordon last year, that's telling. That
right.
really isn't. And that offense, the way that offense is going to be able to be spread out, Matt Forte going to be tough to beat here. So unanimously, Matt Forte into the title game. So let's jump over the other side, Rick. This one, wow. I don't even know. Where to start, but
well, I already
McCoy,
know where Liz
Calvin
is going.
Johnson.
We'll let her tackle Shady McCoy first, I guess.
Well, I mean, I know I've been saying the whole show that he's my number one fantasy running back, but like if now I'm thinking about my own draft, like, man, wouldn't it be awesome to have Matt Forte and Calvin Johnson? But that's not going to happen unless you're drafting with, like, my mom. So at the end of the day, right, because if you don't get Megatron, then who are you going to get? Still someone pretty decent. Where's Megatron going? Yeah, you'll get like A.J. Green or Josh Gordon or Demaryius Thomas. So, sure, I'm going to stick with it and stick with the running back. Same reason we've been saying the whole show. Shady it is.
Okay, Rick, I'll jump into this one. I agree. If I miss out on Shady McCoy, you know, I'm assuming Jamaal Charles is already gone. McCoy probably goes second by and large. Calvin Johnson is going to go in the top six in all likelihood. There is, you can't say equal, but within reason, similar talent, a full round behind him. There is not anybody anywhere close to Shady McCoy a full round behind him. If you wait till the middle end of the second round, you're not coming anywhere close to Shady McCoy production out of the running back position. If you wait to the middle end of the second round for your wide receiver, you're in that Brandon Marshall, Julio Jones territory we've been talking about in earlier rounds. For all of that, Rick, it's Shady McCoy for me.
And I will have to make it unanimous. Look, there were four wide receivers, running backs last year in PPR format that had over 300 points. NoSean Marino being one of them. He is no longer
that
category
that won't
because
happen
he's
this
not
year.
In Denver. And it's Charles, McCoy, and Forte last year. And, yeah, McCoy and Forte, I mean, what more can you say? Calvin Johnson is a beast, but like you said, you go down farther in the line. Like Liz said, you can get A.J. Green, you can get Josh Gordon, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey. You can name the Dez Bryant. I mean, there is some similar talent out there and production, but you're not touching Shady McCoy, and I think it's not that close to me.
All right, so the title game, number two seed in the Midwest, Matt Forte, number one seed in the where'd Shady come out of the West. Shady McCoy. Here's the title game. We're going to get to it. Let's settle it right here. Rick, you start this. Matt Forte versus Shady McCoy.
Why me? Okay. If just comparing last year's stats, McCoy led the league. He had 1,607 yards. Forte was right there at 1,339. They had Forte had 12 total touchdowns. McCoy had 11. Within 60 yards receiving, yardage-wise, Forte a slight edge, but he had over 20 more catches. In a PPR format, that's significant as well. This is probably just a coin flip to me. This is triple overtime, but I am going to go for the simple reason that there isn't a Darren Sproles in Chicago. I'm going Matt Forte.
Okay, Matt Forte Rick, Liz, it's Sophie's choice here. If you, it's a Chicago Bear versus your number one running back going into 2014. Your forte.
Well, I, you know, you just mentioned the catching issue, and I feel like Sproles, and if we're talking a PPR format, and Sproles could certainly be used more through the air. So, yeah, but at the end of the day, I got to stick with my guns. My gut has said Shady since the beginning, so because I'm stubborn, I'm sticking with Shady.
This is a position
she's,
I didn't want to get into.
True to her convictions, I'm proud of you.
I'd have bet $100 she just said forte, and I wouldn't have had to say anything and make a decision. This is terrible for me. Here's what I'm going to have to do, Rick.
Okay, we'll preface it.
Okay.
She's stuck with her number one.
I'm going to have to do the same.
My number one forte, because of Sproles,
right.
Only, and like Liz brought up, you know, I think he's going to eat into some catching production from McCoy, and that is the only thing to me that edges forte over him.
Yeah, I agree. This is so tough. I'm just going to have to stick by my guns. I've said four times on this air that I think Matt Forte ends the year number one overall. Does he beat out? How much does he beat out Shady McCoy by? I don't know. This is so tough for me. I wish I could say this with some conviction. I really do. I'm going to name, Rick, I wish I had the Tiffany up and I don't, but I'm going to name Matt Forte as the 2014 Asylum Fantasy Football Tournament champion just by a whisker.
And this is April of 2014, and when Arian Foster's comeback player of the year, we'll all look like idiots. You know?
Well, that's very true. So there it is, Matt Forte. That's actually a good move on your part, Liz, because I think here's something I do. I tend to dabble in gambling a little bit for entertainment purposes only, of course. I bet every single week against the Steelers. I like to hedge that bet. If they win, I'm happy. If they lose, I get paid, so everybody wins. And I feel that's what happened with your Forte McCoy pick here.
Sure, you're right. You know what? Because at the end of the day, if I'm wrong, that's fine.
All right, well, that is the championship, and I mean, what else can we say? We'll post that up. Oh, there it is.
There, I found it finally.
We'll
perfect
post that
timing.
Up. Matt Forte edges out in triple overtime Shady McCoy for the title. But Liz, you're a Bears fan, and you know, with this offense, we've got a few minutes left with this offense that they have going under Tressman. You know, Rodgers is coming back, the pickup of Golden Tate in Detroit and so forth. You know, I mentioned a couple times, which really helped them, you know, in our predictions here as far as the brackets. I think that NFC North is heads and shoulders over Minnesota, the three teams I just brought up. But where do you see the Bears? I really think that they are on the edge. I think they just may take the division this year.
I'm your list to God's ears. As a Bears, a long-suffering Bears fan, I mean, Green Bay always gives us trouble, right? Like, it's the oldest rivalry in the NFL. So I don't like to be too cocky or bold as to say we'll take the division, and I'm not quite sure. I mean, I feel like the Bears in free agency have been rather frugal. They've made a lot of not really a lot of big splashy plays or moves outside of Peppers obviously going to Green Bay and then Jared Allen, another rival, coming to our team. But I'm interested to see what they do in the draft. We really need to beef up that defense. I mean, who would think that the Bears have an high-octane offense and, like, the second-to-worst defense in the league? That just doesn't make sense. So I think if we can fill in some holes in the defense. I like the move of Golden Tate going to Detroit for the sake of Johnson's fantasy value, but I'm not, you know, I don't think it's a sexy move. I think Golden Tate is an overrated player. I think he's got the Super Bowl halo effect, and that's probably going to cause some waves. I said it on other shows. But I think he's, you know, a diva with a bit of a maple glazed donut affliction. And so I don't think that Golden Tate is going to be the answer in Detroit. I think Joyce Bell actually is much more of a threat because if they can really get their ground game going, I think that that'll be something for defenses to consider in a larger way. Green Bay's, like, you know, I said it. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be dynamic. I think he's pissed that he got hurt. The Bears were the ones who hurt him. So I wouldn't be surprised if it comes down to week 16, week 17, and the Bears and the Packers having to battle it out, as it seems, as it almost feels like every season. So I'm still, if I'm, like, not being biased, I'm going to give the edge to Green Bay.
Yeah, and I think what it comes down to for me, everything else being equal, it's Aaron Rodgers versus Jay Cutler, and I like the stride Jay Cutler made and the chemistry he has with Brandon Marshall, but there's a big difference there. I don't see it. Maybe you disagree. I don't see Jay Cutler as the kind of guy who's going to take you on a deep playoff run. He'll keep you afloat, but I don't see him as a Super Bowl quarterback.
I totally agree, and I agree because Jay Cutler is not a leader. Like, he just doesn't have the intangible it that makes someone a leader. And I think our best shot at a leader on our team is Brandon Marshall. But he's kind of Jay Cutler's guy. You know, he's a boy. We had Brian Urlacher, and then the heart of the team disappeared. Aaron Rodgers is a leader in a way that I don't think, you know, if you look at all of the four teams, Adrian Peterson is a leader too, but running back is, you know, an interesting position. So I feel like if you look at all four teams in the division, who has the most undeniable leader, can rally people to work for the team, inspires different players? I think Green Bay is the answer. Jay Cutler, I totally agree. Like, he's fine. He hasn't really worked. I've been saying this since Trustman got the job. We finally have a quarterback whisperer in Chicago, but we have a quarterback who doesn't really like being whispered to.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree on what you guys are both saying about Rodgers and Cutler. Hey, you look at Rodgers. He's got that – basically, it's just the quiet command of that team, just the way he looks.
Mm-hmm.
Half the time, Cutler looks disinterested. You know,
constipated.
Yeah, or you just don't know what's going on in his head, if anything. Kind of like Eli Manning in a way. They both sometimes look like they're in a stupor
somewhere.
Eli
Manning looks more like he's wondering where he's at half the time.
Right.
He looks really confused. I worry about him.
But anyway, we are about out of time. Liz, why don't you take some time and let everybody know where they can find you and some of your work?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, thanks so much for having me on. It's been fun. I totally appreciated looking at brackets with football players in it because my NCAA bracket was busted early on. But you can find my work at thefantasyfootballgirl.com. And that's my website. I'm putting content up during the off season at least once a week. So again, that's thefantasyfootballgirl.com. You can follow me on Twitter at @BSFGirl. And I have a Facebook page. I'd appreciate it if you went ahead and liked that. You can go to thefantasyfootballgirl.com and the little Facebook icon will take you right to the Facebook page. So that would be helpful if you enjoy the show. And we have a podcast that you guys mentioned earlier. Had my Amish friends, you guys, I guess. During 2013, it's the X's and Y's podcast, and we are available on iTunes. You just have to search for X's and Y's.
Very good. Well, thank you once again, Liz, for coming in. Let's do it again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks so much, Rick. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Liz.
All right, Jebediah, that was that.
yes.
I tell you, they did nail that. We're pretty close to Amish country.
Well, we're in Amish country, no question about it.
We've only got a minute left. We timed that out, right? So, yeah. How it turned out how you think it would?
Just close.
At first glance?
Close.
You know,
I was not expecting I actually was expecting a Forte or a McCoy or a Megatron, depending on some of the guests, how they thought. You know, some may have been higher on Gordon. You know, I mean, it went pretty close to what I thought it was going to be. So how about you?
Yeah. You know, Matt Forte is a guy, as I've looked at this, you know, I've never been real high on him. Not
I know that.
High. And as we've gone through this and as we've talked to the guest, I have warmed up to him, and I hope I haven't shoved in too far on him. Jamal Charles, you know, surprised he didn't make it to the Final Four. Not shocked. I don't know what it is, Rick. There's something that makes me uneasy about him.
Key,
there's an uneasiness.
The key is
about
the three-loss offensive linemen from last year going into this year. I mean, that's cause for concern. And Alex Smith isn't a prolific passer. There's no question about that, which I guess you may think it would be good for as a Charles owner, but not necessarily if your line's not running,
right.
opening up holes for you.
And
so,
a brand new line. And, right. and getting them the ball in space, and that's what they do. And they've done it with worse offenses and worse offensive lines.
Right.
But to be the dominant, to be the number one overall guy, you know, Matt Forte, maybe a bit of a reach. Shady McCoy, he's going to be huge. At the same time, you know, I think Sproles helps him. I buy into that argument. But any time you take away from a guy's production, you have a question there. Calvin Johnson, I think it'd been easy to run Calvin Johnson out there. It really would have. You have to start looking at value. And the way Liz broke it down, I thought was perfect. And in talking about Calvin Johnson, you're going to have to take with that top six, top seven pick. Whereas you take that on a running back, I'm going to be pretty happy if I've got Shady McCoy. That may be a reach, but let's just for argument, I got Shady McCoy, and I can come around on the back end and get Brandon Marshall. I'm going to be pretty happy about that.
Yeah.
Versus Calvin Johnson, and who's on the back end of that second round in running backs. Alfred Morris,
right.
Liz brought up, would be perfect. I like the other team better.
And let's not kid ourselves. Calvin Johnson was fourth in fantasy scoring last year. He was behind Antonio Brown, Demaryius Thomas, and Josh Gordon in PPR.
Antonio Brown, that surprises me.
Well, he had 110 catches, 1,500 yards. I mean, very productive. And that's not to say A.J. Green couldn't turn it around a few points. He was a point behind Johnson. You have Brandon Marshall and Dez Bryant right there. Calvin's not the head and shoulders above
right.
scoring-wise is the running backs. These top three, four, five running backs are head and shoulders over these other guys.
Yeah, no question about that. Big, big chasm between the two tiers of running backs where the top two tiers of wide receivers
right.
tend to blend together and could really be shaken and come out either way. All right, Rick, well, we are out of time on this Tuesday night blitz. I don't think we mentioned thank you to Liz Loza at theffgirl.com. Rick, I hope I got that
yes,
one
indeed.
Right. Thank you to our boys over at the Fantasy Football Oasis. I forgot to mention them at the top of the show again. I'll get better at that. Thank you, as I mentioned at the top, the Fantasy Sports Network in Canada and on MTS Cable in Canada. Check them out at fantasysportsnetwork.com. See if you can find the show there. And let them know you're hearing us.
Yeah, by all means, drop us a line, asylumfootball@gmail.com. Tell us what you think. You got some questions, some keeper questions. We're going to start getting into some keeper leagues and stuff. You have questions, shoot them to us, please.
On Twitter, @asylumfootball. You can do the same. We'll be back Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio with the bonus hour. The insanity will ensue. Until then, we'll see you.
Take care.
Is this song better?
Not really.
God, I can't win with you. Although that was a righteous hissy fit you had at the beginning of the show, I got to tell you.
Well deserved. I tell you, I am going to start picking music.
I picked this just for you. This sounds like something you would like.
Consult me next time.
I'll insult you. Consult you. Well, this isn't the bonus hour. We don't talk over the music on the Tuesdays.
Sure.